Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so Mason and Island are down in Irvine. They're going to be broadcasting from Rams camp today. And guys, obviously, you know, John, you and I got a chance to spend some time together last night talking about Vin Scully. And Mace, I just kind of wanted to get your initial thoughts on all the clips that I'm sure that you've heard today and everything that you've read about Vin Scully and the impact he had on the fans, on the city, on relationships and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, God, what can you say about Vin Scully? I mean, I've even had 24 hours to think or 12 hours to think about it. I was watching the game last night. I thought it was interesting that Joe Davis was able to react to what was going on as the news broke. For me, you know, I moved to Los Angeles 32 years ago. So I was here just after the Gibson home run, adopted the Dodgers as my team, and have been with them ever since. And he is an unbelievable soundtrack for the history of Los Angeles sports. And I would argue that not only is Vin Scully a great baseball announcer, he's a great broadcaster.
Yes.
in the real sense of the word. He could talk, and I heard you talk about him describing Pearl Harbor and the incidents around Pearl Harbor during a broadcast. He was able to. I remember I listened to him do a game on the anniversary, I think, of D-Day, and he gave the entire history of the landing at Normandy and all that stuff, all while seamlessly describing a baseball game. There has nobody ever been with that skill and that ability. And by the way, those stories, they always, for whatever reason, fit perfectly into
amazing.
The spot where he wanted to squeeze them.
Well, he had a great line about that, guys, that he said that God blessed him with a lot of foul balls when he was telling stories.
he could keep
doing that. It's, you know, I feel a tremendous sense of loss today, but I also feel like super lucky that we got that run.
Yeah.
That we got Vin Scully.
67 years.
Yeah, Mace, you said you moved here 32 years ago. That wasn't even, think about this, that wasn't even half of his run.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean,
you
heard 32 years of Scully, and, you know, he's up 67 years.
Yeah, 67 years. And, you know, part of it is, and John, you do this from city to city to city, which is unbelievably demanding, and arguably is twice as demanding in baseball because you're going three towns, four towns.
That was the text that Stu Lance sent me last night. He said he went 67 years on a baseball.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking too.
Well, I'm exhausted doing 82. He did double that every year and then multiply it by 60. I mean,
and making it to the age of 94, I mean, it really is a celebration. That's an unbelievable accomplishment, especially with 67 years of, you know, I always joke with Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group, you know, humping around the country city to city to city. That's not an easy life. And to live a life of 94 years is unbelievably impressive under those circumstances on top of everything else.
I loved the interview you guys did with Oral Hershiser,
yeah.
Travinsley, because I love to say that Vin used to concentrate on the B's,
yeah.
You know, be there, be present at the game, and then be gone. When it's over, you know, and I think that was part of his success in being able to do this for so long is he wasn't Harry Carey. He wasn't
right.
Out carousing until 3 a.m, you know, drinking with fans. He just got in, got out, and came back the next day, and that was it.
And he was a gentleman, by the way. I mean, that's in the truest sense of the word. If you talk to anybody that was, you know, at Dodger Stadium, and I think I heard somebody call in a story about sharing an elevator with Vin Scully,
sure.
I think, at some point. You know, he had a regular guy's touch. He could talk to anybody, anywhere, was always unbelievably gracious.
And then drop some Socrates in the middle of it.
Yeah, sure,
he had this
exactly.
Everyman touch, and then is incredibly erudite and educated and able and eloquent. And able to talk to everybody about anything, and it always felt perfectly authentic.
Yeah, now, were John, any of you guys – go ahead. I'm sorry, Al.
No, I was just going to say, John, we played – you mentioned this yesterday, and we were trying to play clips that there was no interruption because he would go 40 seconds without saying anything after a famous, iconic call and then just – let me get out of the room so anyone who's listening to this can just soak it in. I don't want to interrupt you. And I heard you yesterday, John, saying he'll go grab a cup of coffee after the Gibson home run. And by
he
the
did
time
it after
comes,
the Henry Aaron home run.
Well, yeah, supposedly
he walked to the back of the booth and let the crowd.
Yeah, and I heard he turned his back to the crowd.
Right.
When he did that. Yeah, and to allow those moments to breathe, I think, is an unbelievable. You know, Ireland, you would know. Is it different letting moments breathe on radio versus on TV?
Yeah, because on TV you can see it.
Right.
In radio, you're just, you know, it's theater
of the mind. You're flying blind. Right, exactly.
And, you know, Vin was so good. He did, you know, Vin and Chick were like the last guys to do full simulcast because it didn't matter that you were doing radio on TV or TV on radio. You just wanted their voice. And I was thinking about this, that you think about the history of the Dodgers. They moved here in 1958. And, I mean, you go to Jackie Robinson, Koufax, yep. Drysdale, Hershiser, Kirk Gibson,
Fernando,
Garvey, Say, Lopes, yeah. Russell. Vin's more popular than all of them. He's the biggest Dodger of them all. And you could take that a step further. I think he's the most significant sports figure in Los Angeles sports history.
I agree with you.
I think that, I mean, you could, Kobe, Shaq, I mean, you name it. Vin, if you walked into a restaurant and all those guys were sitting in the restaurant, I think Vin's table gets the most attention. And that's how you feel about Chick, too. I think they drew generations together. And it's sad because he's not here anymore, but boy, were we lucky to
yeah.
get him.
Well, John, it's funny.
Apparently, and I never remember this stuff, we interviewed Vin Scully. When was that, John?
You don't remember? We did it three times.
Three times, okay.
He's been on the show three times.
Yeah, my memory's not great.
Yes,
apparently.
That's true.
Sorry. We're in different places, so forgive us for stepping on this a little bit here.
We're rolling with it. That's okay.
I just when we were out last night, John, and you said, "Hey guys, you know, Vin Scully just passed away," and you suggested that we go get on the air. The walk from where we were to the studio here was, you know, 5 minutes tops, and I was telling Slee that I had this unbelievably deep appreciation for his ability to find exactly the right thing to say with no warning at all, right? To just whether it's a home run or a touchdown or an emotional moment, a historic moment, he always had exactly the right tone, always exactly the right vocabulary to articulate what it is that he was feeling and what the moment required there. And having 5 minutes to think about it and still struggling to find the words on how I felt and what he meant to me and what he meant to the city just really brought it home all over again, that unbelievable gift he had to be perfectly eloquent on 0 seconds notice.
Well, the best example of that, and Jorge, I don't know if you have it. I sent it in my email this morning. This was in 1993. It was incredibly difficult. He had to tell the world that Don Drysdale had died.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was tricky because they were in Montreal, and they weren't sure that Annie Myers Drysdale, who we all know now and are friends with, that Annie knew and that the boys knew. And so Vin started the game without Don, and he went through it and did a few innings, and then they finally said, okay, we found Annie, we found the family. You have to go tell the world that Don is gone.
Mm.
And, Travis, it's exactly what you described. It's like
Jorge found the cut, guys. Do you want to listen to
okay.
it?
Okay.
Yeah.
How
good,
do
yeah.
you do that about one of your best friends and continue to do the game and listen to this?
Friends, we've known each other a long time, and I've had to make a lot of announcements, some more painful than others, but never have I ever had to been asked to make an announcement that hurts me as much as this one. And I say it to you as best as I can with a broken heart. Don Drysdale, who had a history of heart trouble, you may remember a couple of years ago he had angioplasty, and he was found dead in his hotel room, obviously a victim of a heart attack, and had passed away during his sleep. He was not on the team bus today, but we thought perhaps he had taken a cab. We tried to reach him at the hotel. There was no answer. And a little while ago, we found out what had happened. And to Annie and Donnie and Darren and Drew and all the Drysdale family, our prayers for strength and our tears as well.
19 years of broadcast.
I mean, I don't know
how you
do that.
Just extraordinary. No.
I don't know. And Trav, that summarizes what you were trying to explain. Mm-hmm. How do you find the words? And by the way, he was saying we. That was him. He noticed Don wasn't on the bus. He noticed that Don, wasn't at the game. And I just think he's an extraordinary communicator, and he's vintage Los Angeles, and they'll just never be another guy like him. You hear the phrase all the time, one of a kind. With him, it's literal.
Yeah, I mean, he bound generations of Dodger fans together.
Oh,
I
love that caller.
The history.
I love that caller you guys had, Travis Lee, that called and said, this guy lost his dad 45 years
ago. Oh, I heard that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And put a transistor radio up to his dad's ear, and the last time his dad smiled before he died was listening to Vin. There's a whole city dealing with that today.
Such an emotional moment and such a authentic story that the caller was giving us. And with all due respect to him, I'm sure there are many families that have similar stories where they connected fathers and sons and brothers and mothers and daughters and everything else. And just, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but somebody calling a baseball game and telling us stories every single night and being a part of our lives for 6-7 months a year, and it was this fabric, this connective tissue, this glue that held all of these different people and families and communities together, and I don't think we're ever going to see something like that again. I don't think somebody has the skill set to do it.
How weird is this, guys, that for years, if you went to a Dodger game, and I started going in the 70s, if you went to a Dodger game and you had seats anywhere in the stadium, you really didn't have to bring your radio because so many other people had brought their radios. And this was before there were Walkmans and headphones and earbuds.
All those guys with transistor radios, right, and their earbuds.
You would just hear, you could hear Vin call the game because so many people had a radio on. And this is no disrespect to any of the guys who do it now. It was similar to the job Michael and I have when Chick was at, at the Forum. That doesn't exist anymore. It's been lost in a world of earbuds and headphones.
Right.
And you can't hear the soundtrack that Vin provided. And I'm just glad we have YouTube and we have all this stuff saved on the radio that we can share it with people that never got to hear Vin. It's a legacy that I don't know can ever be topped.
No, I don't think it can.
I think that's number one.
The other thing is, and then we'll let you guys go. So there's such a thing as a word perfect broadcaster, John. I think you're pretty word perfect.
Yeah, but
I hear you do. I hear you do games.
Yeah.
Like I am not word perfect at all. I'm stumbling around. I'm saying whatever. Vin was word perfect. I mean, every word. It really is extraordinary what he was able to do for 67 years.
Well, guys, I look forward to listening to you guys share your thoughts on Vin Scully. I'm sure you guys will have sound. I'm sure that you guys will continue the conversation because I personally can't get enough of it. I want to hear more and more about it. And I know you guys are out at UCI today for Rams training camp. It'll be some great Rams stuff as well. But I really look forward to hearing everything you guys have to say about Vin Scully. Mason and Ireland are coming up next. They are live at Rams training camp at UC Irvine. That's coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bah!
Ah!
Ah! Short, respectful growl.
Respectful growl, exactly. We are live at Rams training camp. Thanks a lot for being out there. So, of course, the major story, and we'll talk a lot about this today, and for good reason, an icon. That term gets thrown around all the time, but Vin Scully, truly an icon, passed away last night at the age of 24. He, of course, was the voice of the Dodgers for 67 years. And you jumped on the air last night, right in the middle of everything, right?
Yeah, it was some weird luck. We had a full staff dinner at the hotel next door last night, so we were all there when this news broke. So Travis and I just went in the air. and did 2 or 3 hours last night talking about this. And as I've had a night to think about it, I'm just feeling incredibly fortunate that I've told the story many times that I felt like when I was growing up in Southern California, I was going to a sportscaster school, but I didn't know it. I had Vin Scully doing the Dodgers, Dick Enberg doing the Angels, Bob Miller doing the Kings, and then my guy was Chick Hearn doing the Lakers. And until I moved away, I didn't know what a bad announcer sounded like. I went to
Beaumont, bad announcers.
Yeah, and like
Monroe, Louisiana,
go,
bad announcers.
And I go, well, you know what? He really doesn't suck. I'm just comparing him to
on an impossible scale.
Right, right. And that's how good these guys were. And so I think a lot of people today are going down the rabbit hole of going on YouTube and listening to sports radio. And I just don't think we can play enough Vin Scully clips.
No, I agree.
We may even – you mentioned that we interviewed him several years ago. We may later today just play
I think we should play it.
And
we did 10 minutes.
Yeah, we can play it.
Yeah, what time are we expecting McVay?
After 3 o'clock.
After 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so maybe 2 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do
it a little early.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys – by the way, the score is 27-21 with 11:08 left in the clock here at Rams training.
Well, you know, we have football this week.
I know.
The Raiders play tomorrow night. Yeah.
How about that? So, John, I don't know if you did or not, but I went to Vin Scully's last game at Dodger Stadium.
The Culberson home run?
The Charlie Culberson walk-off. And the – power of – first of all, it was just picture perfect that it was a walk-off in Vin Scully's final game. But on top of that, the thing people forget is he sang – he didn't sing live. He played a recording of him singing Wind Beneath Your Wings after the speech.
Right. Plachy had a good line about that in his article this morning. He said we should have been singing it to him.
Oh yeah, no question about it. He was singing
you wanna
it to us.
You want to have your catch with Matthew Stafford? He's right there.
No, now's the time. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt.
Did you bring your football? Where's your football?
No, I assume they have got footballs at training camp.
Well, no, you have to bring your own so that you can just throw it out to him. Throw it back to you.
It's not BYOF.
It is BYOF.
No,
if you want to throw with Matthew Stafford, you bring your own.
I want to have a catch.
Nobody has a catch.
I have a catch. Have a catch with Matthew. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. We'll take some calls today. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. As we were driving here to UC Irvine today, we heard a lot of really good calls on Travis and Sliwa about Vin and what he meant in people's lives. John, for me, baseball is on at my house every night. Even if generally speaking, it's a Dodger game, but even a night when it's the Dodgers aren't playing, still there's a ball game on.
Right.
And Vin Scully has been very much the soundtrack for our lives here in Los Angeles. He was the connection point that we had. And I've heard people say Vin Scully, greatest Dodger ever. What do you think when you hear that?
Well, the Times did a poll, and he wasn't even one of the choices, and so many people wrote him in that he ended up winning. Yeah, because he
crossed generations. Yeah. He spanned generations of players.
He was more important than any one individual player, and if you're a Laker fan like me, he's Chick. I mean, he's Chick Hearn to Dodger fans, except that for the reasons we talked about, you got even more Vin than you did Chick. Chick, you got maybe 100 nights a year. Vin, you got 200 nights a year.
Exactly.
You know, with the playoffs and with spring training and everything else. So I said to Travis last night, I really thought he was going to live to be 100. I thought he was like indestructible. Obviously, no one's indestructible, but we were just super lucky to have this dude. You know, he could have walked away from the Dodgers many, many times.
Oh, sure.
And I remember in an interview once, somebody said to him, you know, you could have been Joe Buck, or you could have been Al Michaels.
Doing World Series and all that.
Yeah, you could have been the lead announcer for any network. And he goes, I just always thought it was great that the Dodgers wanted me. So he didn't want to leave. And
that's the thing about great humility.
Right.
Just such a humble – for a guy to be that great and to be that humble.
Well, it's funny.
It's rare.
Right. You don't remember the times that he's come on, but we
apparently three times.
Yeah. And the
do you know the circumstances? I remember one was Bob Miller.
Okay, so that's the story I'm going to tell. So the Kings won the Stanley Cup, and Bob decided to come in studio. So I reached out to Brad Zager. Brad is now the president of Fox Sports.
Okay.
He's in charge of the whole network. But back then, he produced the Dodger games, and he was Vin's guy. He was Vin's producer. Mm-hmm. And so I said to Brad, I had asked Brad for Vin before, and he just goes, he's just not going to do it. He doesn't like to make a big name for himself, blah, yeah. blah, blah. And so I said, hey, would he consider surprising Bob? Bob's going to be in studio
yeah,
with us.
That's
and
right.
Brad immediately goes, that he would do.
Yeah, Bob Miller.
Yeah, he goes, that he would do because it's not about him.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we have a mystery caller on line one.
For Bob.
And Bob's standing there, and he goes, Steve and John, allow me to be among the many. You know, he just starts doing what is in essence a monologue that was brilliant, and Bob was blown away by it.
Yeah. This, by the way, is another good day to curse the Houston Astros because
I was wondering if this would come up. Yeah.
We had recorded a section that was going to be in an ad for, I forget which car company.
No, it was for Nike.
Oh, it was for Nike, and Vin was
and
driving a car.
I had a relationship with Nike, and Lisa, my wife, used to work with them. And so the guys at their advertising agency reached out to us and said, you were actually traveling with the Dodgers. You were in Houston.
I was in Houston.
And you were on a plane coming back.
Yep.
And they called and said, hey, we'll pay you guys if you record this spot, but you need to record it in the next 12 hours. And so I called Juan,
yep,
your partner, and I said, all right, I think Steve's going to want to do this. He's going to be tired, but you got to tell him no matter what time. I go, are you picking him up? He goes, yeah. I go, all right, he's got to meet me at the station at 10 o'clock, and we're going to record this thing. And we did this thing for Nike, but the Dodgers are world champions. They recorded it. And, of course, we couldn't tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
The Dodgers hadn't won it. And it was going to be for a commercial where you see a guy get into a convertible, and they're playing I Love L.A., and he's driving from the beach up into Sunset Boulevard, yep, up into Dodger Stadium. And it's Mason and I were describing what a great day it was in Southern California and how the Dodgers, for the first time since 1988, were world champions. And then you see a guy with a girl in a convertible, and then at the end the shot was going to be the two people in the convertible were Vin and Sandy Scully.
Yes.
And they were going to get out, and it was going to say, just do it.
Damn you,
and
Astros.
It never ran. They paid us.
Oh, they paid us.
But it never ran because the Astros cheated and won the series.
Exactly. Do you think you could recreate what you were supposed to say?
I'd probably find the script. I think we were sworn to never say anything about it now that he's dead.
Well, we don't care. Sorry, Nike. Didn't mean to spill the beans.
I actually was really impressed with Nike and how they thought ahead on that. And
there were two lucky sports talk show hosts in Houston who got to
do some fun stuff
in the ad. Exactly. Yeah. I just think, you know, in terms of it's very different than, I guess it's similar to when Tommy Lasorda passed away, in that, you know, long life, unbelievable career, really made other people happy, made other people feel good about the game, about their lives. It really is a celebration as opposed to something that's a downer. It's sad, obviously, but what an amazing life. What an amazing testament to his gifts.
This feels to me like when Chick died. Chick died at 83. Vin made it to 94.
Wow.
I fear there's going to be this irreplaceable hole in the broadcasting landscape, and that's just the way these things work.
Yep.
But the fact that he lived to be 94 and gave us 67 years, get a load of this, Mace.
Mm-hmm.
When he got hired by Walter O'Malley to be a Dodger broadcaster,
yes,
and work for Vince, work with Red Barber.
Yep.
He was 24 years old and living with his parents.
Wow.
And he was driving to you know, Ebbets Field and doing the Brooklyn Dodger games with Red Barber.
With Red Barber.
And but it's just it's a remarkable run that will never be touched.
Nope.
And I'm just glad that we got to, like you said, I've been here 32 years. I wasn't even half of his career. I mean, we got to enjoy so many people in so many different ages. Travis mentioned the stat in his show. We mentioned it last night that he announced games with a guy who was born in 1916 all the way up to Julio Urias, who was born in 1996.
That's
an 80-year span.
Talk about spanning generations. Yeah. That's absolutely amazing. All right, so we'll get some calls coming up. 877-710-ESPN. Also, you know I love the movie Field of Dreams, John.
Yeah.
Vin Scully once read.
Where you got have a catch.
Yeah, got have a catch. Vin Scully once read the famous Field of Dreams speech. We will bring you that coming up next. We are live at Rams training camp at UC Irvine, driven by your Southern California Hyundai dealers. It's your journey. Own it with Hyundai. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The winning run is at second base with two out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight and the Mets win it.
That was 1986, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, game six. That, you know, the Red Sox thought they had their 80-year streak about to end. They only needed to win game six or game seven.
Yeah.
Game six was insane.
Yep.
That's how it ended. And then the Red Sox didn't show up in game seven, and the Mets won that year.
Ben had a great knack for being – he got so many great moments to call, whether it was, you know, Don Larson.
25 no-hitters.
25 no-hitters, called the Gibson home run, goes all the way back, and has been there for every great moment in Dodger history. By the way, our broadcast live doesn't being out here at training camp make you want to hit somebody? Don't you want to hit somebody?
You
stay away from
us. They think that is Bergman. Go put on some pads.
Go put on some pads.
I would actually do that if they let me.
Yeah, we would take some shots. Absolutely. So, by the way, our broadcast live from Rams training camp, powered by Buffalo Wild Wings and the best happy hour in SoCal. Tons of awesome $3 to $6 food and drink weekdays from 3 to 6. Don't miss out. Happy hour at Buffalo Wild Wings. All right. So, promise this. I'm a huge Field of Dreams fan. You want to have a catch, as I think Dad says to Kevin Costner in that movie. Now, there's a famous speech from Field of Dreams, and I believe this is the one given by James Earl Jones.
It is. They'll come, Ray.
And this is Vin Scully, the great Vin Scully, doing that speech from Field of Dreams.
Ray? People will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Oh, of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. And they'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it's money they have, and peace they lack. And they'll walk out to the bleachers, sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines, where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game, and it'll be as if they dip themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces. People will come, Ray. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It has been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and could be good again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
And there are there's Vin Scully, the famous speech from Field of Dreams, which was done originally by James Earl Jones, and Vin putting his own spin on it. You're listening to Mason in Ireland. We're live from Rams training camp, and it is the day after the passing of the legendary, iconic, for 67 years,
yeah,
the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Vin Scully.
And there's so much material here we have to potentially share with you guys that it's hard to pick one thing that, you know, Travis was talking earlier about. We have a computer full of material and we don't have enough room for it all.
Actually, let's take a quick phone call. Elliot is there from Torrance. Elliot, you're on 710. What's going on, man?
Hi, guys. Again, my condolences to the entire Scully family. But you know what? To all of us, because we all feel like we've lost either an uncle or a father here. I mean, it's just so hard. But people are forgetting not only Vin with baseball and the Dodgers and the game of the week, but Vin also broadcasted Super Bowls as well as the Masters Golf Championship. He could have read the phone book and I would have listened. he was just an amazing man. And one last thing, this is the type of person we need as leaders in this country. It's so lacking. If we had a man like this with a heart and a soul like this, I think we'd all be in a better place. God bless you guys.
All right, thanks,
all right,
man.
Thank you,
Jorge. I'm gonna reference something here that we played a little bit of this last night, but I want to play the whole thing. It's the second to the last thing on Emily's list when Vin talks about Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
You got to remember that Vin Scully was not only alive when Pearl Harbor happened, but he was a teenager.
Yep.
He was 14.
Wow.
And this runs a couple of minutes, but this is one day, and this was the greatest thing about listening to Scully. One day, you'd be watching a baseball game, and
you'd
get
a history lesson. Yeah.
Here it is.
He's getting it here in a moment. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned earlier, you know, whether it was D-Day or, I mean, he was very, very much a student of history, and as a result chose important days in American history to highlight and to really lay out during the course of nine innings, hey, this is how it all happened.
My dad grabbed me once when I didn't want to do my homework or I wasn't doing good in school or something, and he said he was getting frustrated with me, and he said, come here for a second. We're going to watch a Dodger game. And we watched a Dodger game. And Vin starts telling a story, and he goes, do you notice how when he tells stories, they're not sports stories?
Yeah.
You can't just read the sports page. He'll tell you stories about literature and history.
Yep.
And speaking of history, here's the Pearl Harbor story. This runs a couple of minutes. But imagine not knowing anything about Pearl Harbor, or you're a young baseball fan listening, and then you get this from Vin.
Our hero of the day was a witness of the devastating Pearl Harbor. That's when Corporal Seki volunteered for the Army. His unit was the all-Japanese-American 442nd Regimental Combat Team. Pitch swung on and foul back, one away. Anytime I hear Pearl Harbor, I was 14 when we had Pearl Harbor, and there is our distinguished hero indeed. When I think about Pearl Harbor, I almost automatically think that's the only time I ever heard my father swear. At 14, I can see I was crawling under the big family radio, and I was listening to a football game, the New York Giants football team in the NFL. The count goes to 1-2. In that game, I do remember the only time the great Mel Hine was ever injured was on Pearl Harbor Day, playing for the Giants. 1-2 pitch on the way. Little nubber up along first. Chooch picks it up and throws him out. So we have two down, and the batter will be up. Well, anyway, as a kid, and they interrupted the game, and I thought, why would they do that? The Giants were on the move. And in those days, they didn't score much at all. Hardly ever passed the ball. And so when they interrupted the football game and they said Pearl Harbor, my first thought was, that's probably in China, because as a little boy, the Chinese and the Japanese were fighting, and the word Pearl Harbor made me immediately think of Asia and the Asian. Well, I was wrong. But so I went into the kitchen where my mother and dad were having their usual cup of tea at that time of day. Here's Utley up there, and he takes ball one. And I said to my dad, who had traveled all over the world in the British Navy, and anyway, and I said, where's Pearl Harbor? And he said, it's in the Hawaiian Islands. Why? And I said, well, the Japanese just bombed it. And then he let out an expletive, which was really shocking because he never swore. And then he just simply said, that's war. And I remember going back, listening to the Giant game, not giving him much of a thought. Wow, what a beginning.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
In the context of doing a game.
Hey, yeah, how great
and
is it when
way,
he goes one and one, fouled back to the screen. Yeah. And then my dad swore, and it's like, come on.
Yeah, no, the seamlessness of it.
It's just fantastic. Let's get Mario from Upland in here. Hey, Mario, you're on ESPN LA.
Guys, how are you? I know we're all
good, Mario.
Very, very sad. And born and raised here in Southern California. Grew up a Dodgers fan until Daryl Strawberry showed up on the scene, and then I was a Mets fan. And Vin was on the call of my team's greatest triumph. Little roller up first. And as you guys mentioned, you know, as great as Vin was, telling the story, painting the picture, making you feel like you were in the room. Because if you could just take all the Vin's calls right now, close your eyes, you feel like you're there. You feel like he's just talking to you and just calling the game just for you alone. And then in Game 7 of that series, in that last at bat, he just says, got him after the strikeout. And the next 90 seconds is just silence.
Yeah, he always did that. Yeah, he was great at that.
And just letting you soak it up all in and letting you, like, you were there. And Vin just had, like, a Mr. Rogers-like quality of just making you feel safe, making you feel like your grandpa is telling you about the game. And I think Vin was also at his best when he had to break just terrible news to the audience, whether it was like Don Drysdale or 9/11. I mean, just Vin had that gift to just make you not only tell you important things and teach you, but also not make you feel dumb, but make you feel like comfort. And that's Vin Scully. And
Mario. Appreciate
like
that.
Like you said, with Vin and Chick.
Yep, it was a pretty great place to grow up, particularly if, and thanks for the call, particularly,
yeah, thanks, man.
You know, if you were a young aspiring sportscaster like me, I mean, you were being taught a master class and you didn't even know it, which was really cool. Coming up, we'll do Wheel of Questions.
Yes.
I did the wheel today, and all of the questions are about Vin.
Oh, so nice, good.
One of them we'll do next.
Okay, cool. We will do that coming up next for you. Again, we are live at Rams training camp at UC Irvine. A little bit after 3, we anticipate that head coach Sean McVay will be with us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right. Ooh, this is interesting. If you were going to try and explain Vin Scully to an alien, all right, to someone who had never heard of him or didn't know what he did, and you had to put one Vin Scully call in a time capsule, it can be anything you want. It can be Dwight Clark's catch. It can be Don Larson's perfect game. It could be the Gibson homer. It could be the last goodbye he did, which was so poetic and so great. It could be one of the stories he told. Bergman, you're the biggest Vin Scully fan on the show.
Actually has Vin Scully tattooed on it. Yeah.
You've got one clip to put in the time capsule to explain to somebody 200 years from now the greatness of Vin Scully. What are you going with?
So there's way too many to choose from to make this actually the right choice, but I don't think
there's a wrong choice,
that's
actually.
What I mean. Yeah, there's no wrong choice. So I think I'm going to go with the Hank Aaron call, actually.
Love it.
Because of just how the way that he made the call itself, but even brought
Hey, Jorge,
in,
find that call while we're talking
by the way,
about it.
I will tell you that this is also my call.
Bring in race at the same time seamlessly
because
and
it has a sense of history to it, because of the moment it was. And that was a Dodger road game in Atlanta. Do I have that right?
You do. In 1974.
And the famous line that he speaks. Here is that call.
Deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol.
Yeah, I mean,
I love that call. Right. It captures the history of the moment.
For me, it would be the Gibson homer.
Yeah.
Simply because of the way he sets it up. He talks about how Gibson doesn't have one bad leg.
Yeah.
He has two bad legs. And you're rolling the dice in the sense that if he would have hit the ball on the ground, he's out.
He would have been out.
I mean, exactly. He couldn't have. If he would have hit the ball in the gap, he probably ends up on first base.
Yep.
The space that he leaves after the call.
The Jorge, see if you can find the Gibson home run. The way he and he lays out at the end of it to the point of when he's going around the bases.
When you say lays out, describe that.
It means he doesn't say anything.
Right.
He just lets the crowd go crazy. And then he comes back with that line that inspired my call at the end of the Laker thing. He said, in a year that's been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Yes.
And
by the way, a lot of announcers will plan out what they're going to say. And if this happens, I'll say this. And if that, I always joke about that with the NCAA tournament, because the voice of the NCAA tournament always seems to have a line in his pocket, Jim Nance. But I don't think any of these lines are in Vin's pocket. I think they are organically of the moment. And I don't believe at any point did he ponder.
Right.
At no point did anybody ponder Kirk Gibson was going to hit a home run there.
By the way, nobody. The fact that he sounds so conversational with everything hanging in the balance. It's the ninth inning in the World Series.
Yeah.
He sounds like a guy in a coffee shop. Here's Vin Scully's famous Kirk Gibson home run call.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so the impossible has happened.
I mean, come on.
The line. And you know what? I don't think I've ever had a line that good at any point in my career, ever. Ever. Have I ever met
that moment,
that
by the way,
the
LA Sports Council a few years ago said, what's the greatest moment in Los Angeles sports history? And that was it.
That was it, huh?
That was number one.
Yeah.
Hey, this just came down on Sportsnet LA. Stan Kasten said the Dodgers are going to wear a Vin Scully jersey patch beginning tonight or tomorrow, and will have some recognition before Friday's game at Dodger Stadium.
Somebody made – I don't think you could do this on radio, but I was driving around last night, and somebody had a – I don't know if it was on our station or I actually listened to the other guys last night after Travis and I went off the air at 11.
Didn't even know there were other guys.
And somebody had a suggestion at some point that the Dodgers should do Joe, and I think Jessica Mendoza has been working with Joe on the San Francisco trip, that Joe and Jess should do an inning where they don't talk. Just, you can't do it on radio because you wouldn't be able
to. Wouldn't know anything.
But just let the game go for one, like maybe the second inning, third inning.
Yeah.
Just don't talk. For a whole inning, just
interesting,
and you know, as a tribute, it's like not a moment; it's an inning of silence.
So I wonder. I would imagine Friday night there's going to be a big Friday night's a gigantic night at Dodger Stadium because the Padres are here, and apparently they
with
made
Soto.
Some sort of trade. I don't remember what exactly they did, it's going to be a big night. And then there's going to be an enormous tribute to Vin Scully also on Friday night.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of Vin Scully.
Bergman, what are you doing Friday?
Not much. I'm picking
up
my daughter, but I'd be down to go.
Jorge, are you down to go?
Yeah, I'm free Friday.
Free Friday. Okay, let's do it. Mason takes a fan to a local baseball game for Friday.
Well, you better
move
on.
For Riley.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to go.
Is Riley going to go?
Riley will be.
Okay, Riley will go. Excellent, excellent. So we'll do that on Friday. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that that's going to be an emotional night at Dodger Stadium, and I'm sure the Dodgers will get the magnitude of this and what Vin means to not just the Dodgers, but to Los Angeles. So it should be a really cool night at Dodger Stadium as the Padres come to town.
And
with their new guys.
Yes. And by the way, I agree with Buster Olney. I think the trades they made, picking up Josh Hader, picking up Juan Soto, picking up Josh Bell, make them now.
Don't forget about thinking of picking up Brandon Drury, who's got 20 home runs this year.
I think they're going to get one of the wild cards. I now think they're on the short list of teams that can win the whole thing. I didn't think that before.
No, I didn't think that before either.
But now I think they could win the whole thing.
We're both going to be in the playoffs. Giants, Padres, and Dodgers will be in the playoffs. And I would guess that we will see them in the NLCS. I hope we don't see them until the
NLCS.
No, I'm
still thinking the Mets are probably a little better, particularly that DeGrom pitched last night for the Mets.
DeGrom looked okay, gave up one
early. And remember, the Padres are
going
to have to work themselves through the draw as a wild card.
But remember, that's everybody gets a three-game series.
Unless right now the Dodgers would be exempt.
Would be the one team that does it.
The bye team.
The Padres will. I mean, they'll all have three-game series. Yeah, I hope we don't. Three-game series makes me incredibly nervous. But, no, they did improve themselves dramatically yesterday. And the one thing that that I read a lot about was that Andrew Friedman was on the phone with the Nationals throughout this thing and was really pushing, raising the stakes, getting San Diego to bid against themselves and give up more than they would have gotten otherwise, because Andrew kept raising his offer. A lot of people are upset with Friedman. They're like, why didn't he make a deal? Well, it may be that they liked the Padres package better. It's not a matter of how many prospects. Like, Mackenzie Gore is a great player. He is going to be a top of the rotation starter. We did not match that, and it may be that the Nationals just like the Padres package of prospects better than they liked ours.
And the Dodgers are fine.
We just went 21-5 in July.
Dodgers are loaded.
Yeah, absolutely loaded.
All right, coming up next, loaded. Mason doesn't remember it because he can't remember anything past a week.
Yes.
So this will be as exciting for him as it will be for you, the listeners.
I cannot wait.
We interviewed Vin Scully in his final season in 2016. Vin agreed to come on. He normally wouldn't, but once he announced his retirement, he said, sure, I'll come on with you guys.
Did I do good?
Yeah. I think he'll be impressed with you and even more impressed with him.
I'm sure.
Is this
I'm
the
sure.
interview that I hung up on him on?
Could be.
It could be the one.
Yeah.
That you had nightmares about?
Yes, still do.
Yeah. All right, so we'll play that next for you. Mason in Ireland with Vin Scully from a couple of years back during his final season as voice of the Dodgers. And also a little bit later on, we're at Rams training camp in Irvine. And a little bit later on, we expect Sean McVay to stop by. We'll see what else is going on. Team is out in the field and working right now. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.